Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So you think about, you know, acts of justice and being the church. I think about this interview that was done. It was David and Jason
Benham
on The Blaze. And they're talking about their book, Whatever the Cost. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I want you to listen to this and hear what they're saying and watch what they're saying about, you know, really just being the church. You know, stepping out what God's called us to do. Take a look at this.
I was out at Silicon Valley a few weeks back, and I found more optimism there than any place I've been, because I think some of the people out there are very much like our founders. They see the possibilities of freedom right in front of us. You go elsewhere, and people are either clawing to keep the old, which isn't that good. It's not that good. They're clawing to keep the old, or they are too lazy, too sedentary, too set in their ways of, I deserve this, and it's always going to be this way. That the optimism is just gone. Where do you see us headed as a world, and how do you jumpstart youth and jumpstart even people my age?
You look at the optimism in Silicon Valley, because that is a land filled with producers. I mean, these people live to produce. They're always creatively thinking of ways to produce things. That's what this country was founded on. We were producers and not consumers. But what happens is that when by your production, good things happen and you receive blessings, and then those who come behind you are raised in those blessings, and they don't necessarily have to produce quite as much because everything's right there. They don't have to go plant the tree because the tree's already producing fruit. And that consumer mentality then shifts people back into their little hole, to where they're constantly thinking about, give me, give me, give me. And we weren't created like that. We were created in the image of God, and He's a producer. And when we aren't acting like God, then we are going to detract and fall back.
You think about Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, he says, when God created mankind, He created them in His image and His likeness. And so God is a creator. He's a producer, and he said to Adam to produce, you know, to till, to move, to do something. And you think about that this, we're talking about, you know, how, the third great awakening. Well, it's not going to just kind of show up with a downloaded app. It's going to show up with, you know, you doing something. It's going to show up with you beginning to live your life. And there's something so exciting how God's created you to begin to develop something, to do something, to begin to believe God for something, begin to see things manifest, you know?
Well, I think he made a really interesting point when he says that, you know, when the nation just started, people had to produce, they had to create, they had to build.
They considered it a blessing, though.
Yeah, but as we became more blessed and future generations began to born, they started to just get lost in the blessing.
Right.
The responsibility doesn't end to produce.
You owe me a tree.
Yeah, and I'm going to enjoy it, so I got to do less.
Right.
But we still have to produce for others.
Right.
You know, I see this a lot in first-generation immigrants that come to the nation. They come with very little, nothing.
Right.
They work very hard. They build a business. They create wealth. And oftentimes, the second generation doesn't have to do as much because their parents did it all, and they wind up producing a whole lot less. They wind up consuming and not feeling that responsibility to produce for the next generation.
I like what they say here, the difference. So some people are rivers and some are ponds. Take a look at this. Listen to 648.
When we travel and speak, Jason and I are always looking at people, and we're seeing, are they a river or a pond? I mean, you don't have algae growing in a river. But you have the algae and the big bullfrogs and all of the mosquitoes and everything are right around that pond. Why? Because that pond is just sitting there taking in the water, and it's not moving. So we want to be a river. Even the scripture says in John chapter 7, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. And that's how we're supposed to be. And that's what made this nation great. That's what will continue to make this nation great. But that's really what makes men and women of faith great, is when we are moving. We're constantly being a blessing. Jason and I call it happy warriors. There's no reason why we need to be upset. There's no reason why we need to be fighting and fussing and all of these things. Now, I understand bringing godly resistance to evil is something that we need to do. But we're rivers. We're constantly bringing life. And what happens in a river? Generates electricity. It generates clean drinking water. I mean, it does a whole, it carries heavy loads. It does a whole slew of things. But ponds don't do squat.
And you think about this, about the river of God is teeming with life. He says, from your bellies will flow rivers of living water, that we're called to be activated into life itself. And the way the enemy could defeat you or defeat those that follow the Lord is to believe the opposite of that and realize, okay, the government does everything and that there's nothing I can do and there's not any creativity in me, and that God's not going to respond to me like he responded to past generations, like mm-hmm. you were talking about. And how many people are really, they complain about their stagnated, stinky life, but they're just a pond. They refuse to flow. They refuse to flow. And there are other people who are wanting to flow, but they're just around a whole bunch of other ponds.
Yeah.
And what we need is people to rise up to understand not only is it important for you to flow, but to flow into other people's lives.
That's key.
That's one thing that we do with the VFN Dream Center. We're always, you know, if you're ready to be awakened, if you're ready to be activated, you're ready to be able to get in the river of what God has called you to do. I mean, that's one of the things that we do. You know, that's our dream. Our dream is to see you and everybody begin to be activated in that creativity that God has given you and whatever aspect and sphere of culture that God has called you to. And there's like seven spheres when you think about it, like seven mountains. And God's called us to go into a nation to make disciples of it. And there's seven spheres of that particular nation that needs to be impacted that God's called us to, which is what? Church or religion, family, government, education, business, arts, and entertainment. And when you think
media.
About it and media, that's one thing that we want. That's what, believe it or not, but what we ran into is we're moving along is there's a lot of ponds on the side of the river. And it's like, you know, we got to wake up. God has called you. And you're talking about a third grade awakening. I mean, God doesn't say, okay, I see you're burnt out and you're just tired.
Right.
Here, let me just come down and pick you up and carry you. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to want to go with God.
Yeah.
And having that desperation, even when you can't move no more, you still call out for him knowing that he's going to show up. But when he does show up, you're going to come running after him. It's not like he's just going to show up and just do everything for you. It's a relationship
That's
with
right.
God. And when he does show up, it's pretty awesome. But this particular book, these brothers, these twin brothers, have taken an awesome stand for the Lord, a stand for righteousness. And I love the way they talk about, you know, very specifically that the Bible has anything that you would ever need in any aspect of these spheres of culture that we talked about in life. The Bible has the answer to it. The Bible has the answer to it. And when they're talking about next year, is this particular generation, the millennial generation, and if you look statistically, they're not in the present day expression of the church, but God's in love with them. The question is, do we need to change our expression? Do we need to change our look? Do we need to go back to the original intent? What are we doing? Are we willing to let go? You know, if you see the migration of the church, it was willing to let go of what was to be able to embrace what God was doing. Behold, the Lord's doing a new thing. He just, this is who he does. I mean, he's not leaving who he is behind, but notice there's a lot of things left in the dust, and you got to honor what was on the way of you embracing what God is doing. And if you try to put those two together, when you sow the old wineskin, pour the new wine into the old wineskin, it ruins them both.
Yeah.
When you sew the old garment to the new garment, you know, it rips it. It doesn't work. And so what you got to do is honor, okay, thank God for everybody that labored and carried all the way back to the Jews who brought the word forward to be able to have it in our possession today. But dear God, do something so powerful that we wouldn't even believe it if you told us it was so. You know what I'm saying? So powerful.
They say the old wineskin burst. What I've read here recently is because the wines continue to expand and you know, grow. And when you trust in the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do, you gotta follow the leader. You can't stay stagnant and refuse to change.
Right. Let's look at 6:49, talking about this millennial generation.
The second part of your question, you asked about the younger generation. But what we've seen, especially when we travel the country and speak, millennials aren't as concerned about values as much as they're concerned about solutions. And what we found is that by and large, they look at Christians and they don't see Christians as holding the proper solutions. They think that they have maybe some good values, but solutions, maybe not so much. David and I truly believe that Christianity is not just a religion, but it is a comprehensive worldview that has the answers to all of life. It has the answer to every business question you could ever have. It has the answer to every question you could ever have to become a better dad or a better husband or a better neighbor or a better citizen, a better leader, all of those things. That is a solution. We've got some practical things we outline in our book, we outline when we go speak, of what young kids can do. Just real practical, simple solutions. Unfortunately, many in the church have kind of hunkered down to their traditional value system, which we're all for the traditional value system. But this next generation is saying, okay, can those values transition into solutions? So it's very important that we be able to be what Jason and I call just a biblical Christian. As our dad would say, turn your theology into your biography. Live out your testimony. Don't just give this testimony, but live the testimony.
You think about it, he says, this generation is into solutions. Do you have a solution for my problem? And the sad thing about it is, why don't we,
hello,
out of the church? It's like, what have we done? Somebody says, just sing some more.
Yeah.
We
need answers.
I understand. I'm looking at the PowerPoint. I see the words, yeah. But I'm dying here. How do I do business?
That's right.
How do I do marriage? How do I do fathering?
Yeah.
How do I do life? You know, and you missed our earlier program with Joe Martin. You've got to catch it, you know, talking about men and men in the mirror and all that's going on. But understand this, that we are supposed to, we're bringing the solution. The solution is God, in the Word of God. Mm. It's not just like, preach me another message. It's not like, you know, you just need to go to church. You need to go to church. It's like, at some point, it has to empower me to do what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
I need to leave the presence of the taught Word of God, knowing better how to do what God's called me to do in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an oddity. That's actually how it's supposed to happen. You're supposed to hear how to do business, how to do family, how to do relationships, how to do finance. And then you walk out and you practice those things. And that is the act of worship. And that's a righteous act that actually brings that third great awakening that mm-hmm. we're talking about in the context of that. We're going to go to break and have some more when we come back from the break. But this Benham Brothers are really, it's amazing.
It's great stuff.
Yeah, how applicable it is. The Benham Brothers are talking here about their book. What's the name of their book again?
Whatever the Cost.
Whatever the Cost. And, you know, the next thing they're talking about is so important, because discipleship is caught, not taught. You need to be close to someone to be able to catch this. And they're talking about here, you know, about going to church versus being the church. Watch up. Listen.
As our dad would say, turn your theology into your biography. Live out your testimony. Don't just give this testimony, but live the testimony.
Tell me the difference between going to church and sharing your testimony.
Our dad did raise us to be biblical thinkers, to where we would take our theology and make it into biography. And what we've said to a lot of folks is that if church is a place you go and testimony is something that you give, well, then attendance to a church in a geographic location is going to be paramount. But if church is something that you are, and testimony is something that you live, then remaining in that state of being will be paramount. And then you will be salt. You will be light. And the next thing you realize is, not only are you living transformed, but your family's transformed, your community is transformed, your city, your nation, and the world.
That is so powerful. Wow. You know, I love that. He says, you know, if church is a place you go and testimony is something that you give, then attendance to a church at a geographic location is going to be paramount. But if church is something that you are and testimony is something that you live, then remaining in that state of being the church, think about it, of being the church will be paramount. Then you will be salt. Then you will be light.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, your family's transformed, your business, all this. It's like,
almost sounds like, how can you go to what you are?
All you can do is truly be. Say it again.
That's it. How can you go to what you are? All you can do is just truly be.
Be the church.
Be the church.
And it's not as hard. It's hard to learn in a classroom. It's hard to learn even if your classroom has pews in it. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. But if you're living it, if you just show me your life, you know, I like what Joe Martin was talking about, the people whose life he's speaking into. Mm-hmm. He lets them have access to his life so they could see it.
Yes, modeled.
Yeah, and you know, men, you know, the way men are commonly learn or used to learn is just mentoring and interning with someone, apprenticeship, and you're seeing it take place. And men, you know, based on my experience, operate better under those kind of principles. Sure. Of being able to, I understand what you're saying, but I need to see how you swing the hammer. Where do you hold the hammer at? You know,
application here. Let's see it.
The application. I understand what a toenail is, but I don't know how to put it into a board. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
It's just Pat didn't know what a toenail was, and so then. But it's so when we come together as the church. In other words, you say, listen, I got my whole life is booked. Let me change what I'm putting on my schedule. Let me put new things like people, human beings. Let me put people who actually are suffering injustice. Let me, you think about this. I know that the Big Brother, Big Sister mentor program in America and in our region was recently trying to get more mentors, and they were challenging different governmental people to get their employees to start mentoring them. And they said, this is all you have to do. This is all you have to do is pick them up twice a month and do whatever you do. Just let them do it with you.
Yeah.
What a concept.
It's called life.
Can you imagine that, you know, that if pastors start just saying, you know, go let them do life with you.
Yeah.
Let them see how you handle that your marriage isn't perfect either, that your business struggles are there, that your family's not perfect, and you're working through these things, and they watch you trust God, and they watch you do these things. And they realize, you know, I can do this.
Yeah. Because the best way, I say the best way, but the way we learn, and you said it earlier, is by observing and watching. We're really good at teaching with words, but it's nothing like being able to see it in action.
And, you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer struggled with trying to find, you know, a definition to what is the church. And finally, just through much price that he paid, he realized that the definition of church is Christ in community.
Mm.
And he began to live it out. He began to just live with people he was pouring into their life, expecting them to gain it, grasp it, catch it, and then go off and begin to reproduce what they experienced.
Mm.
He believed, and we do too, in the personal abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, that you abide with him. He said this is a big, profound thing for them at that day. That you just take the scripture, one scripture in the morning, you read it, and then you meditate that on it all day long, believing that God's going to speak to you, that word's living, that it's active. Well, that was a big thing in that time because the German church had went astray, and he was trying to bring the church back to God's word. And we call that abiding. You need to begin to abide with the Lord. When you abide with the creator of the universe, he tells you what to do. He empowers you. He says things like, get in community, get in fellowship. Mm-hmm. And we have a perfect plan for you. It's a free plan for you. It's at iabide.org. Just request it today, and it'll be sent to you immediately. But begin to think about this, that we abide with the Lord alone, but then we abide with our families, that we have a relationship with them. And sometimes you can do that, sometimes you can't, depending. But then you abide with your church family, people who have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Jesus said, let me tell you who my family is. Let me tell you who my mother is, who my brother is. It's those who do the will of my Father. In other words, those that are just, right?
Yeah.
And you need to hang out with them. And the truth is, you know, you may be like Dietrich Bonhoeffer in your community where people say, I don't want to have community. I don't. Well, I believe in this institutionalized, nationalized, Nazi, you know, type church, national church thing going on that was going on in Germany at that time. And he kept trying to have community with them. And they just didn't want that. They actually were thinking that, you know, governmental, political
was the answer.
Was the answer. And what you want is just enough organization that if God was to back off from it, it would fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want. And that way you're constantly dependent upon the Lord. But there's nothing greater. Think about this. Of all the things that God did, that the Son of God did, and Jesus did nothing unless he heard the Father say it or do it, right? So, but what he did was he went and ate with folks. And you know what they called him? They called him a glutton.
Mm-hmm.
He went and drank with folks in their homes. You know what they called him? They called him
a drunkard.
He went and hung out with people who were sick and who were in sin, and they called him, you know, somebody that couldn't even discern who he was with.
Yeah.
And all along, he was God the whole time. the religious folks are going to put labels on you. They're going to do all kinds of things on you. But this is what Jesus said about a prostitute who poured out her alabaster box on his feet. He said, I'm going to talk about her for eternity because she understood her times.
Yeah. True worship.
Yeah, true worship. Exactly. And the religious folks were saying things like, don't you know how much that thing cost? We could sell that box. That was Judas. Other ones were saying, he calls himself a prophet. He can't even discern that he's in the presence of a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of all that, when she was truly worshiping God, right? That act of he's about to die. And she's anointing his body for death. She was in tune with what the Father was doing and what was happening. And she anointed him for death, and she washed his feet with her tears and wiped him with her hair. And Jesus said, you're going to hear about this for eternity. I will talk about Mary forever.
Mm.
And we have to become that person, that Mary, not these religious people who are pointing fingers. We got to be willing to be called things that we're not, doing things, that acts of justice that God has called us to do. And what's going to happen? I believe a third great awakening is going to happen. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, I thank you for our audience. I thank you, Lord God, that you're touching their hearts, Father God, that you've drawn them to this point, Lord, and that they're believing even now for a third great awakening. God, open our eyes to injustice. Show us and give us wisdom on how to respond to that. Give us the community that you've called us to be, Father God. Free us, Father God, from religion and bring us into relationship, Father God, to be in a constant state of being the church with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.